welcome to the Yes to Life show on UK Health Radio. I'm Robin Daly, host for the show and founder of the UK charity Yes to Life, an organisation that wants to see everyone with cancer in the UK be respected and supported in the choices they make for their own cancer care. We want oncology to be known as a profession notable for its empathy, respectfulness, trustworthiness, open-mindedness, and for inspiring the hope for the best possible outcomes. So we're keen to empower patients with knowledge and resources, and one of the notable developments that offers improvements in this arena is the arrival of the Cancer Coach. While there have been some of these around for most of the two decades that Yes to Life has operated, they were rare beasts until recently, when, I'm thankful to be able to say, they are becoming increasingly common. Today, I'm speaking to Isabel Galliano, a highly experienced coach who moved into this arena many years ago, and we're going to be focusing in on one particular challenge that those with cancer are faced with. Isabel, great to have you back on the show.
Thank you, Robin. Very happy to be back.
So you're someone who's been in the vanguard of establishing an increasingly important new role in cancer care, that of cancer coach. So for the benefit of anyone who's listening who doesn't know about you and your work, and maybe for others who've got no idea what a cancer coach does even, would you just kind of give us a little summary of your background story, your training, your experience, and tell us about what you do in your role as cancer coach?
Yes, certainly. So, I mean, what inspired me to become a cancer coach was really my own experience with cancer. I went through it first with my mother when she was diagnosed with colon cancer and unfortunately passed away from cancer. And I just realized, you know, how many challenges you have to face when you have a cancer diagnosis. And it goes far beyond just the medical challenges, you know, physical and emotional, but also the challenges in your relationships, in your family, you know, financial challenges. And I found that there was really a lack of support. And that kind of stayed with me, that more should be done to support cancer patients and their families. And actually, 5 years after my mother passed, I was myself diagnosed with breast cancer at the age of 32. So that time I had the role of the cancer patients, went through all the treatments myself, and again, faced these daily challenges, sometimes small challenges, sometimes bigger, where I really felt on my own. And I had so many questions, but really little answers. There was a lot of trial and error of research. And it really planted a seed in me that if only somebody could kind of walk me through the whole process, give me some additional tips on how to better handle the side effects, how to just alleviate the whole journey, would make it so much easier. And it's really only when I had a recurrence, unfortunately, of my cancer 2 years later, that I decided, okay, I need to go the extra mile. I need to really investigate more, to do much more research on how I can support my healing and my recovery. And that's how I went into yoga, meditation, nutrition, stress management, exercise. And I wanted to learn all the modalities that could support my healing, my recovery, physical, emotional, mental. And I just realized that there were so many other people in the same situation. And that's where I decided to quit my job. I was actually CEO of a radio station, and to really focus my career on becoming a cancer coach. Now, what is a cancer coach? I kind of found that for me, it kind of really embedded or regrouped all these different modalities where I found I could support others. And it's really this kind of hand-holding process, guiding somebody through the journey, but also really to empower them to be more educated, to have more literacy around what is going on with them, their disease, but also the treatments available. And then it's also a lot about giving the patients a certain sense of control back, because often when you get a cancer diagnosis, you kind of feel really like you lose all sense of control. That's a very important part of it, and also regaining self-management skills. And yes, I really guide my clients from diagnosis through cancer treatment into recovery.
Marvelous. Well, it's an extraordinarily useful service. I mean, amazing we didn't really have it before, to think how many years have gone by without that kind of thing. But seems to be hugely important to me that people had that kind of thing on tap. Okay, so the topic we settle on for today's show is navigating the post-treatment blues. So I think this is a great subject to focus on, as it affects so many people. And it's really a very challenging one. So firstly, for those who've been lucky enough not to encounter this, the idea of finding it difficult to come to terms with the end of things like chemotherapy and radiotherapy may not even make a lot of sense. Can you explain how something that on the surface should maybe be a cause for celebration could actually be a really difficult time?
Yes, I really think that this is kind of the period in the whole cancer journey that is the most misunderstood, because everybody kind of expects you to celebrate. And you, as a cancer patient, and I went through it myself, you have such high expectations of when the treatments will finally end. And you really long to go back to your normal life, to kind of go back to your routine. And actually, when that time comes, you realize that there are a lot of challenges still ahead. And I find it, you know, I've been coaching now for 10 years, so I've been coaching many, many patients throughout that period. I found that it's a period of a lot of mixed emotions. So, of course, there is this initial relief that treatments are finally over, that you don't need to spend so much time in hospital again. But at the same time, there is a feeling of losing a certain sense of safety and support. As much as cancer treatments are difficult, painful, it does give you kind of a sense of being supported and a sense of safety. You see your doctors on a regular basis, the nurses are there, you get checked on a regular basis. So you feel kind of safe. And then when you are told, okay, that's it, you can go home, we'll see you in 6 months, for example, suddenly you feel very lonely, you feel isolated, and sometimes even a little bit of a sense of abandonment. And I think that what makes it even more difficult is that it's very difficult to kind of explain those feelings, because everybody around you kind of wants you to be happy and to celebrate.
Yeah, it does make sense. And that aspect of it all coming to an end, and that there's something proactively happening about a situation which, you know, the thing about cancer is this feeling of it's a bit like a forest fire, that if you're not really active, it's just going to go out of control. And with all the time you're on treatment, you probably have the reassurance that everything's being done to dampen it down, to put it out. But suddenly you're left with this kind of fingers crossed, no strategies, just going to hope for the best scenario. And out into the wide world again, it is pretty daunting, isn't it?
Yes, and you described it very, very well. It's exactly that. You know, you feel that you are actively doing something with this rigorous schedule of treatments, and then suddenly you feel that you are not doing anything proactively anymore to kind of keep your illness at bay. And that can be really, you know, scary. It can give you a sense of anxiety. And that's why I find that it's really nice and important to have a plan, you know, to work with somebody or yourself, having a plan on what can you now proactively do to support your health and your recovery. But on top of that, you know, I also find that it's really a time where many, many of those who finish treatments, they start with a lot of self-questioning. You know, it's about of, you know, it kind of hits you what just happened. Because while you are on treatment, you are somehow in an autopilot mode. You have your schedules, everything is kind of organized. And then suddenly you get out of this autopilot mode and you start to feel and to realize what happens to you and the enormity of what happens to you. So sometimes it's the first moment that people actually really feel the fear. And as I said, it's a lot of self-doubting. So what do I do with this experience? Where do I go from here? Do I still want to do the same job? How about my relations? Do I need now to kind of do something special out of this? Self-doubt, something self-questioning, also sometimes a feeling of losing of their own identity throughout the process. So all these emotions come up often at the end of treatment. You don't really know how to handle them, and you don't really know how to talk about it and to whom to talk about it.
Yeah, it's interesting that you had that. You talked about that thing about wanting to get back to normal, get back to into your life, and that's something that people look forward to quite naturally. But of course, what's a tendency not to take into account is that the person who wants to get back to that normal isn't the same anymore. They're simply the experience of cancer changes people in very fundamental ways, and so the reassurance and the comfort of normal is just not there in the way that it was anymore.
Yes, absolutely. And, you know, as much as you longed for normality again, you realize that it changed, that you are a different person. Often your surroundings change, you know. Often your relationships might be impacted by the journey, your job situation. Many kind of practical things might have changed, but also you know, you are a bit of a different person. You went through a traumatic experience. You had, you know, to deal with something, you know, where the fear of it and the uncertainty of the future. And often I see that people even don't want to go back to normal.
Right.
You know, because, yeah, there are some who said, well, something brought me to this situation. There needs to be a change, because I don't want this to happen to me again. And also, you know, I want to make it count now. This is certainly something that I felt. I certainly felt, specifically the second time around, my God, I made it again a second time. I really need to make it count now, because unfortunately you also make people, you know, who don't have such a good outcome, if I may say so. So you kind of almost feel this obligation that now you need to make it count. And you want to make the most out of your life. At the same time, you still really struggle with side effects of treatments. So you do realize that this is taking longer than you expected, because treatment side effects might linger longer than you wanted. Sometimes you need to do some additional treatments, which also emotionally can be hard on you. And you just need to really kind of reorganize everything and find your path again and your rhythm again.
Yeah, I think of cancer as being a kind of deconstructing experience. So it takes you to bits in a certain kind of way. And yeah, it takes time to actually bring your life back together again in a new format. But there are opportunities in that. And I think you would say for yourself, you've taken opportunities from that, you've learned from that. So it's not all negativity, but it's certainly not easy. Yeah, I kind of think about it as a radical reframing, if you like, of your outlook, and given all the things that you've encountered along the way, life just doesn't look the same, and so you can hardly go on being the same.
And definitely, it's definitely not only about negative experiences, you know. I mean, this drive of making it count, this drive of wanting to make changes, of wanting now to kind of do the most out of your life, of taking better care of yourself, of getting better educated around what you can do to support your health. These are all, I would say, positive things that come out, you know, and it's a learning experience. Also, putting things really into perspective, you know, gaining a deeper appreciation for life, for being healthy, for just waking up feeling good, and for those who supported you along the way.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Delightful news, air travelers. Going in and out of airports without getting sick can be challenging. Time to take charge of the air you breathe with Nasal Guard. Nasal Guard topical gel defends by blocking harmful airborne particles and viruses. Try Nasal Guard for air travelers today. Visit Amazon or nasalguard.co.uk to learn more about Nasal Guard spray and gel products. Again, that's nasalguard.co.uk.
Apples and pears. beef and skittles, cider with Rosie, common or garden, Ant and Deck, fish and chips, mum and dad.
UK Health Radio and Health Triangle magazine. Each is good by itself, but enjoying both is always better. Add Health Triangle magazine to your monthly health regime. Check it out at ukhealthradio.com. Strawberries and cream.
A cancer diagnosis can be scary and stressful for everyone involved. Hello Love is a contemporary living space and well-being center in central London where anyone can come and learn about illness prevention and non-toxic practice. Inside, you will find a vegan restaurant, juice bar, and holistic dojo that encourage lifestyle changes to help heal mind, body, and spirit connection. Cancer patients are offered free sessions. To find out more, please visit us at hellolove.org.
When you vacation with Norwegian Cruise Line, every day is a new day. Get a taste for Barcelona, then savor incredible dining options back on board one day. Connect to ancient history in Athens, and then disconnect completely in our spa another day. Wherever the sea breeze takes you, come aboard and experience a different tomorrow with NCL. Visit ncl.com, call your travel agent, or call 0333-336-1472. Norwegian Cruise Line, Ships Registry, the Bahamas and USA.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Quite interesting to see the contrast between the kind of the medical view of like, okay, you're cancer free, you're fixed. And then as against what actually feeling fixed might be like, you know, it's a far, far cry, isn't it? The two things are so different. And it's a long journey to actually find your way out of all of that and feel well in yourself in a way which is way beyond being cancer-free.
Definitely. And I mean, it starts with you not feeling still optimal immediately after treatment, and then also your looks. You know, often when you went to chemotherapy, for example, you just physically don't look the same, which is another reminder every day of what you went through, not only for you, but also people might ask you questions or having kind of looking at you in a weird, uncomfortable way. So all these things kind of remind you of what you went through. So it's also difficult to just immediately move on. But I think that for me, you know, it was absolutely crucial to gain a sense of kindness towards myself, to
right.
Just allow myself to have some days that were not so good, to understand that healing is never linear, that there are always ups and downs, and to accept that there are better days and not so good days. And then the other thing is for sure patience. And it's not a thing that, you know, you would like to hear. You know, you need to be patient. It can be quite annoying, but it's really to kind of cultivating that sense of, you know, it took a long time going to treatments. It also takes a while to recover from it. And just to find your own pace and to not try to compare yourself constantly to the person you were before treatment. That was really for me an aha moment. When I
Brian.
Stopped kind of comparing, oh, but before treatment, I could run much longer. Or before treatment, my focus was better. Or before treatment, this constantly comparing yourself was just bringing me down. And once I started to really focus on the progress I made, you know, while during treatment, I was not able to do this. Look, now I can do this. Really focus on the progress, trying not to look back. That really was a game changer.
Interesting, because I mean, you know, the normal human thing is to get into comparing yourself with others, but you're saying you're actually comparing yourself with your former self.
Yeah.
But a very good message, though, to actually tell people to be kind on themselves, to give themselves space, not to expect themselves to instantly be bounced back again necessarily. And despite what anybody else might think as well, because there are often outside pressures to be your old self as well.
Yes, and talking about these outside pressures, I think it's important to really be very honest and to allow yourself to say, you know what, yes, I wish I would be bright and shiny every day, but there are days where I don't feel so well, and that's okay. And I think it's also important to be expressive, to find, you know, a space where you can kind of talk about this feeling in a non-judgmental way. That can be, you know, with a sibling, with a friend, with a family member, with a professional, but where there is a space where you feel that you are allowed to talk about these emotions and also simply allowed to say that you feel confused, that you were not expecting that, and that you don't quite know how to handle it. I think it's important to be able to express it. And then also to say it to your loved ones, because they also are lost. They also don't really know how to react. And I believe that another tip that I always give is to kind of be as clear as possible when you express and identify your needs. You know, what is it that can be helpful for me right now? What makes me feel supported right now? What gives me a sense of peace? And to just be honest about that and express it in a clear way so people around you can understand you better and also can support you better.
So for many people, this would be an opportunity for that, wouldn't it? Because people, many people are not very good at doing that thing, and they may not have been ever very good at it, but this is like a focus moment when they could home in on the importance of that for everybody around them, not just for themselves, but for everybody else, that they are that clear. And it could be quite a major change of direction for them.
Yes, definitely. And then the other thing is really to empower yourself with knowledge.
Right.
I find that really so powerful, because then you kind of get out of this passive mode of just crossing your fingers and hoping for the best. You actually become an active participant in your recovery journey. And that really changes everything, because you do feel that you are actually doing something, that you are trying your best. And, you know, understanding more about how nutrition can support you, how you can use exercise for your benefit, how you can better handle stress, anxiety, all these things really put you in the driver's seat and put you in a situation where you say, you know what, actually, I'm still actively doing something for myself. And it also helps you actually to recover faster and better.
Absolutely. It's a total win from the psychological and emotional point of view and from the physical point of view. So it's right across the board. It's a plus. Yeah. So as you're coaching, the backbone of what you must be doing is just talking to people. But I'm guessing you've got all sorts of great techniques and tips and things for people to help themselves when you're not in a coaching session. Do you, anything like that you want to share?
Yeah, so, I mean, the role of a coach is really to make your client independent, you know. It's not about making them dependent on you. It's really about finding the power in themselves to really self-manage themselves again. And it's all about working as a team and letting them come up with their own ideas, you know, make a plan together. And once they feel, you know, that actually they know a lot more than they initially thought, and it really puts them also in terms of confidence and in a much better place. But as I said before, you know, I think it's really important to be kind with yourself, to not kind of feel guilty if not every day is a good day, to be patient, to take this pressure of feeling better immediately, to be honest towards yourself and towards your surrounding, being expressive, so find ways to kind of get rid of these emotions or kind of better manage these emotions. It can be talking to somebody, but it can also be through art, for example, through music or dance or writing, clearly identifying your needs, expressing them, not being, you know, scared to ask for help, many people find it as a sign of vulnerability to ask for help. I always say it's really a sign of courage to, you know, raise your hand and say, you know what, I do need support here. So, and then I think also it's important to feel connected, with somebody that understands you, with, or maybe with somebody else that went through a similar situation, but to get you out of this feeling of loneliness and feeling that you're going through this alone is very important, because you realize that, you know, you are, that many go through the same emotions and the same challenges. And that's actually very comforting.
Okay, so there's a good reason to reach out in some direction and make some connections. I'll put a little plug for some of our group work that we're encouraging so much of at Yes to Life these days. Seems fantastic for this kind of thing. It's a very easy way to connect with other people who will understand all about your journey.
It's a wonderful work that you're doing. And also many of the people working with you are have gone through cancer themselves. So they can definitely, you know, understand that and connect. And that's wonderful. And another thing that I wanted to say is that I believe that you really need to put self-care as a top priority, you know, and to really kind of take your health as the number one priority in your life and not feel bad about it, not feel guilty about it, but understand that you really need to take care of yourself and you need to prioritize it in a very practical way, putting it in your agenda, you know, and not just hope that one day you will find the time to take care of yourself.
It's another of those big changes for some people who always put their own well-being somewhere way down the list. But a good thing to do for sure. Yeah, when you started talking just a minute ago, you were saying that you're helping people to find out what they know, that they actually know more than they think. It's interesting. I mean, it sounds like you're in a way coaching them in using their own intuition. Would that be right?
Yes, definitely. And it's all about gaining this sense of empowerment back. And for example, when we talk about stress or anxiety, I would ask questions like, when you have been in situations like that before, where you felt anxious or stressful, what were things that helped you? Did some activities help you, you know, feeling relaxed, feeling at peace? And they start, you know, recollecting things. You will, oh yes, actually in this and this situation, exercise, for example, helped me, or reading a good book, or talking to that particular person. And then they start coming up, you know, with their own ideas. And that's much more powerful if it comes from them. And they will be much more motivated to actually follow through with them than if I would just kind of giving them a lecture on all the techniques that is known to help. So it's really important, I find, as a coach, to never forget that it's about empowering them. It's about getting them to find out what works best for them. Mm. And you kind of guide them through that process. And you handhold them through that process and you kind of motivate them through that process. And of course, you give some tips here and there, but the more it actually comes from them, the more efficient.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Start your day the right way with Revive Active's range of super supplements and get the most out of life. Take one power-packed sachet mixed with water and enjoy a super tasty health drink at work, at home or on the go. Clean, premium ingredients scientifically formulated to work in synergy to optimize your health and well-being to support immunity, energy, joints, heart health and more. No filler, no stimulants, no artificial colors or preservatives. Just the right mix of vitamins, minerals, amino acids, and hero ingredients to help you put back what life takes out. Try Try our 7-day or 30-day boxes and use code UKRADIO to get a free supplement shaker. Revive Active. Super supplements for a super you.
Nature's Medicine for Modern Living. A people and plants dialogue hosted by Sophie.Health. At Sophie, we bring together experts and voices who rarely cross paths. Our quest is to illuminate the ancient world of plant medicine and reimagine it for the connected age. Join us to explore new boundaries of digital personalized medicine with deep roots in the natural world and hear from our community of international pioneers who are validating this new paradigm and improving how we feel, sleep, and cope with daily stresses naturally. Sophie.Health, reconnecting people and plants.
Once upon a time, human slavery was just a fact of life. Right now, animal abuse is often considered normal. In time, it won't be. Animal Aid campaigns peacefully against all forms of animal abuse and promotes cruelty-free living.
Check out animalaid.org.uk. It's time for a kinder world.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Power of the idea of not knowing is immense. And if people think they don't know anything, that will blot out an immense amount of just knowledge and experience they've already got, and will damp down their intuition in finding new ways forward as well. It's a kind of thing we do to ourselves, isn't it? It's a blanket of ignorance we feel we have.
Yes, definitely. And once you kind of start asking these high mileage questions, you know, and you get them to reflect and to really look inside of them and to find the courage, but also to get back to that sense of intuition, as you said, that we all have innate in us.
Yes.
We just kind of don't tap into it anymore. And we kind of lose confidence of, in our own abilities. And once you kind of regain that confidence and you go back to this innate intuition, it becomes very, very powerful.
Okay. So, another thing I'd like to talk about, the issue of living day to day with the potential of a recurrence. It's got to be one of the major difficulties that confront people who've come to the end of treatment. Can we talk about the ways in which you're able to help people to embrace this level of uncertainty and find a way past all the inevitable anxieties surrounds it to find a new way of living?
Yes, that's definitely a big one. The fear of recurrence, it's very present. And I would say, especially at the beginning, because you do lose that support of going to, you know, medical tests so often. And it is something that you absolutely need to manage, because to be honest, it will stay with you for the rest of your life.
Yeah.
You know, I've been into this now for 18 years, and you can't really completely remove that fear. To be honest, you know, I wish I could say, oh, I'm never fearful anymore. That's not true. You know, when there is a checkup coming up, I do get nervous. I do cross my fingers.
Right.
You know, so for me, it's really important. And it's difficult. It is difficult to accept that's part of your life. But once you start accepting it, it becomes easier. And then I often say, and I don't want to sound cheesy or anything, but I say, you know, the fear is actually also your friend, because of that fear, you will actually go for your checkups. Because of that fear, you might make an extra effort to eat healthy food. You might, you know, go and do your exercise on a regular basis. So use that fear as an empowerment, as something that keeps you safe and healthy, and that motivates you to do positive and constructive changes. So that's where I kind of try to guide people towards. And also, you know, again, if you have a plan and a sense of control, it just makes it much easier. if you do work on all these different aspects of lifestyle, and you do feel that you're proactively doing something a lot to remain healthy, the fear also is less intense. That's something that I've really seen with my clients. And then there are also techniques that to try out, like mindfulness, like breathing techniques, meditation, for some exercise. And I think that you should be ready that sometimes there are triggers here and there, you know, that come out of nowhere. You don't even think about it anymore. And then you read something on the news or somebody asks you a question like, oh, when is your next checkup? And it completely takes you off guard it. And that's often when the fear kind of creeps in. So I like to have some techniques to handle it. For me, my preferred technique is deep breathing. And I'm certified in pranayama, in deep breathing techniques. And for me, that has always been a lifesaver. When I feel the stress or the anxiety coming up, I close my eyes. I do really some very deep breathing, making sure, you know, that it goes all the way to my belly and that I breathe out. And it's known scientifically that it immediately brings your stress levels down. So having a few techniques like that handy, it can be your favorite music. It can be a friend to call. It can be going out and go for a run. But knowing what technique you could instantly use when you have like a trigger is very helpful.
Yeah. Okay. And some good examples there. It's interesting. I like your kind of reframing of the fear as your friend, because you can look at it that one of the aspects about living with uncertainty is that in one way it's more real than pretending we're going to live forever and everything's going to be fine, which is what we like to do. Of course, it's a normal human inclination to do that. But of course, life is actually uncertain, and we're less likely to put off things that are important to us when we do experience some degree of uncertainty. Obviously, we don't want to be in a panic all the time, but that kind of bland assurance that we've always got more time to put things off to is part of what makes us not present and not actually engaged in our lives. So, you know, in a way, that fear could be our friend in keeping us awake and present.
Yes, definitely. And to just really, you know, appreciate every single day,
right,
and appreciate the little things in life. I remember that I was so happy to just not feel nauseous, you know, to just feel the energy to just, yeah, these simple things that is everybody takes it for granted. And you really know to appreciate that more. And still to this day, I mean, as I said, it has been 18 years ago, but I still every day appreciate that I'm just feeling well. And I do believe that for me, definitely going through that journey made me today the healthiest I could possibly be.
Right.
I'm now 50 and I work every single day on my health. I don't think I would have done that before. I mean, I do exercise for me, for example, it's always a challenge, but I really push myself. Also, you know, in terms of nutrition, in terms of mindfulness, in terms of having meaningful relationships, so many things that I'm not sure I would have paid so much attention to it. And I'm for sure that I would not be in such good health nowadays because I do the work every single day.
Mm. That's very positive. Okay, now, yeah, lots of people who listen to this show, obviously they're people with cancer, but also I know that lots of people who listen to this show are caring for people with cancer, they're practitioners caring for people with cancer. So you've already mentioned this kind of the outside view and the inside view of this situation of coming to the end of treatment. I wonder if you could just speak a little bit more to the listeners who are with somebody who's got cancer and how they can be in relation to them, how they can support them at this time of coming to the end of treatment, also practitioners.
Yes, I think that, you know, probably the most important tip is to get out of the mode that you need to find a solution for them. You know, you are not expected to find a solution for every problem they have or every challenge, but just getting more into the role of being supportive, being an active listener. You know, you don't need to have answers to every question or to have an advice for every problem, but it's often really just sitting with them and active listening, validating their feelings, you know, acknowledging, I understand that this is hard and I can imagine that you feel confused. This validation of feelings, this giving them the feeling of being heard and understood is invaluable. And then another thing that we often, you know, don't think about is the importance of nonverbal communication. You know, if I look back at the moments where I felt very vulnerable, you know, after chemo, during chemo, I remember a hug or somebody holding my hand or somebody giving me a tap on the shoulder much more than long words or advice. So also kind of don't forget that sometimes just being present, you know, with permission, hugging somebody, you know, holding hands, it really gives that person the sense of feeling supported, feeling acknowledged, and not being alone. And then I would say the way in which you talk. I always say that once you are diagnosed with cancer, you kind of become extra sensitive to what other people say, for sure during a certain period of time. So to just be a bit more mindful of the choice of words you're using. And I always say to use supportive communication instead of immediately say, oh, yes, I also had a similar experience. It's more about, yes, I'm listening to you. I'm hearing you. Or, you know, instead of saying things like, oh, everything happens for a reason, or you should be positive. All these things, you know, it's meant in a very positive way, but it can sound to you as being a bit dismissive. More kind of leaning into, I'm listening. Is there anything you want to share with me? You know, how can I help you? That's more helpful, I find.
Right. I think, you know, when you were talking about people connecting with other people in a similar situation, that's the kind of territory in which, of course, the communications are right because the people really know for themselves what's needed. But yeah, it needs a certain kind of humility for people to say, actually, I haven't got a clue where you are, what you're dealing with, because I haven't been there. And it's for me to be giving you advice on how you should be is ridiculous, actually, and therefore make the space to...
Exactly.
See and learn.
And I think that, as I said before, validating that those feelings is so important, because you sometimes feel that you are overreacting or that your feelings are kind of out of place, that you should be feeling this or you should be. But no, everybody has their own journey. Every feelings, the way you handle it, it's always valid. So to find that you are not judged, and that you people allow you to have this, you know, this journey the way it just comes to you, it's really important.
I mean,
and another tip I would also give, you know, for those who kind of are there and support you and want to help you, is to also ask them very specifically what you can do, or offer very specific help. Instead of just saying, you know, whatever you need, you know where to call me. And I know it's meant again in a very nice way, but it's being much more specific. You know, the next time you need to do your groceries, I will come and pick you up. I will help you. Or can I bring your kids to school or, you know, drop him off? Can I do the laundry for you? So offering very specific help, that's much more helpful, and you will be much more inclined to accept,
yes,
than generally just saying, oh yes, you know, if you need something, you call me, because we do feel a little bit shy to ask for help. And so if you can make it easier, we will definitely reach out easier. And then also these people around us, they genuinely want to help us, but on the other side, they don't really know how. So for us cancer patients or those who finish their treatments, to actually tell them exactly what they could do is a win-win for everybody, because, you know, you feel that you are supported and they feel that actually they really add value and they do find a way to help you.
Yeah, clear communications, eh?
Exactly. Yeah. And these are kind of these basic things that often gets lost in the drama and in the emotions, but always go back to kind of the very simple, clear, basic, honest communication is really a very helpful.
Okay, well, on that good word, we'll have to end it. We're out of time. Do you want to just share details of how people can find out more about you and your work?
Yes, so you can find me on my website, isabelgagliano.com. And I am giving coaching sessions all over the world in 5 different languages. So I do give sessions online, but I also have a series of masterclasses for cancer recovery. So these I find also really interesting because you are in a group setting and I give masterclasses on nutrition, on stress management, on exercise, on detoxification, on all these different aspects that are really important to implement when you are recovering from cancer.
Great. All right. Thank you for that. And thanks for sharing another valuable slice of your experience, your knowledge. I'm sure that lots of people listening today will greatly appreciate hearing what you said.
Most welcome. Very, very happy if it's helpful for anybody.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Do have a look at Isabel's website, isabelgagliano.com, and note that Galliano has just the one L, the G-A-L-I-A-N-O. Isabel asked me to pass on a special discount to you all should you consider joining her next masterclass, Nutrition for Cancer Recovery, on May the 7th at 12 p.m. So a generous 30% discount is offered to all listeners, and to enjoy this discount, enter the promotional code YESTOLIFE when registering. To register, go to the website breastcancer-coach.com and look under Masterclasses and Nutrition for Cancer Recovery. Thanks for listening. I know there are many of you who really appreciate hearing from experts like Isabel, who are my guests each week, and it's my absolute pleasure to be able to bring them to you. I always love hearing from you, so if you have people you want to hear more from or subjects you want to hear more about, do let me know by emailing me at radio@yestolife.org.uk. Hope you'll be joining me again next week for another Yes to Life show here on UK Health Radio. Goodbye. Thank you.